Wendy and worship team. What a great, awesome time of worship together today. Amen. Hope you're being blessed so far. I want to thank all our volunteers that so graciously meet here every week to make sure that this goes out to you and all our volunteers and staff and elders and their wives being with us today. I want to talk to you today on the topic of taking action. Taking action. Our ultimate call of taking action is to follow Christ. Jesus speaks in his word and encourages us just as he did his disciples to follow him. And so we can't follow him without taking action. There's an action that we must take. There's something that we must do. No matter how young we are, no matter how old we are, there's an action that we all must take. We are hindered sometimes from taking action. We're hindered for various reasons. Maybe we're hindered because of concerns of failure. Well, I'd like to do that. I feel like I need to do that, but I'm scared to do it. Have you ever heard anybody say that? A fear of failure, concern of failure, or concern of, well, what would other people think about me? I'd like to do that. It's really in my heart to do that, but what would people think about me doing that? Could be so fearful of taking action that we may miss the major blessing that would come after taking that action. Many times we don't receive what we should receive because we don't take the action to get it. Salvation is free. Salvation is free, but even there's an action there that we must take in order to receive salvation. Salvation's free, but we don't automatically receive salvation. The Bible says that we have to believe on Jesus and we must confess him with our mouth. When we do that, we believe on Jesus and we confess him, we are saved, but we're not saved until we do that. If I were to hand you a gift and you were in front of me and I'm handing you the gift until you receive that gift, take the action to receive the gift, it's not yours. It's intended for you, but you must take the action to receive it. Without action on our part, we can't receive the gift that God has for us. And so it is with the blessings of life. We have to take action. There are actions that we must take every day. There are actions that we must make every day in order to be fulfilled in this life. Our actions are powerful. Our actions can be judged by the highest courts. If I were to go out today and break the speed limit and break it bad enough, not only do I get a ticket, but I get escorted to my own private room behind bars, right? So there's actions that, actions are so powerful and so great that the highest court judges our actions. Thank God for a gracious God, that even when we make mistakes in our actions, that he forgives us and encourages us to go on. So there are consequences. There are good consequences based on our actions, and there are sometimes adverse or bad consequences to our action. But action engages knowledge. Knowledge without action is just knowledge. Knowing how to do something but doing it are two different things. So we often face decisions in life that seem dark and scary. Taking action sometimes that God calls us to take are scary. Sometimes we have to go through a dark time of life and take actions to come out to the other side. God said that he was with us to bring us through our tribulations and trials. Many times we expect him to bring us out of it, but God, why do we have to go through it? And so there are dark and scary times, but if we believe the blessings that are ahead, if we trust God that there are blessings ahead, then we're more able to have the faith to make the right decisions. Chris and I were coming back from North Carolina some time back, visiting our children. Our daughter and her family are in Wilmington, North Carolina, and son and his family are in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So we were coming back from North Carolina, headed back home on I-95, and when we came into some dark clouds, it got darker, and the further we went, the darker it got, and in the middle of the day, it just turned almost pitch black, nighttime, headlights were on, and came a downpour, such a great downpour that it was almost blinding. We couldn't hardly see 30 feet in front of us. But I remember, as we talked about it, we said, well, I believe we need to slow down, we need to be careful, we need to be wise, but let's continue moving forward. Some people were pulling off, some people were pulling on the side of the road. How many know that it's sometimes more dangerous to pull on the side of the road on 95 than it is to just keep moving? And so we kept moving. Within about 5 or 10 minutes, we saw ourselves coming almost out of a dark tunnel into light. The sunshine was out, it was dry, and it's as though we had never come through that time. But in my rearview mirror, I saw how dark and scary it was just behind us. but we push through carefully in wisdom, being careful with our eyes open, but we push through and we came out on the other side. Many times it's that way in life. We come to a dark and scary time, but we get so fearful that we stop. And we're bound to that fear rather than pushing forward and allowing God to, by his faith and by his power, to bring us through the other side where there's no rain, there's no storm there. But we've got to come through sometimes dark times to get to the sunshine. Every situation presents two options. Now, this is real brilliant. Two options. Either you quit or you keep going forward. And so every situation in life is really boils down to quitting or keep moving forward, to take action. But it's scary. It's fearful. I'm afraid. You know what? Jesus said that we would have tribulation in this life, but to be of good cheer because he had overcome, even those times that we haven't faced yet. The actions you take, the actions that I take, not only affect me, the actions you take don't only affect you, but they affect everybody around you. Even the actions of Jesus, the actions that Jesus took affected him. It definitely affected him because he laid down his life, rose again on the third day, and now he's alive. But his actions also affected every one of us. His actions affect each one of us every single day of our life. Our focus scripture today is found in James 1:22. Somebody mentioned just a moment ago. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Learning a trade or a profession is great. It's good. But if you spend years in college learning to be a dentist and you don't ever practice the knowledge, it doesn't do you any good. But if you go through all the years to be a dentist, a doctor, an accountant, English teacher or math teacher, if you spend all those years in doing that and then put it to use, then you see the benefit of the knowledge. But you've got to put it to use. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore take up." How can we not have action and not take up? To take up means to have action, to take action. "Therefore take up," Ephesians 6:13 says, "the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." So we can't stand in the evil day unless we take action, and that is to take up the armor of God. What is the armor of God? It's right here in the Word of God. Everything that we need to make it through every situation and problem and issue of life is found in the Word of God. But the action must be taken in order to receive the promise and the blessing. I'm reminded of Crystal. She is, as you can tell, she's a great cook. She's the best cook. And all of the wonderful meals that she makes, she can have all the ingredients. She can go to the pantry and get the whatever she uses in the kitchen. She can have it all on the counter. She can have everything right there together to put everything together. But until she takes the action to actually bake or cook or deep fry is my favorite, whatever it is to bring the source of that to the plate to eat it and enjoy it, the ingredients are great, but the action to get it fixed is another story. Thank God for good cooks. Thank God for Crystal being able to cook. And so we have to take action. Our calling and our purpose today is all found in taking action based on God's word. Attending church requires action. You tuning into Facebook, Vimeo, and YouTube requires action. Giving requires action. Earning a paycheck requires action. Wouldn't it be nice to get a paycheck without having to do anything? Earning a paycheck requires action. Fulfilling commitments, responsibilities, promises requires action. Being kind to one another requires action. Serving one another, having faith requires action. Obtaining victory in life requires action. Even to love someone requires action. We'll see the story of four men in the Bible. These four men were very, very sick. These were sick men, so much to the point that they were not even allowed in the city. They had to stay on the outer edge of the city. These were very sick men, physically sick. And so the background is the king of Syria sent his army against Samaria and surrounded this capital city. and was going to overtake it. So with this city surrounded, the people couldn't go out for food. They couldn't do anything. So there was a terrible famine that gripped this city. The food became so scarce that even as we read, the head of a donkey sold for 2 pounds of silver. Dove dung sold for 2 ounces of silver. People were starving and even actually resorted to cannibalism. And outside the city walls were these four men that sat very sick. They were going to die. They were so sick they weren't allowed in the city. And this story is found in 2 Kings. I want to read this and bring 4 points out of this that I believe will encourage us today to take action. 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 8 says this. Now there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate. This was the gate of Samaria. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the armies of the Syrians." Now the Syrians were the enemy, and they had surrounded this city. So they were the enemy and surrounded. So they said, "Come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians." They felt like they had more hope to do that. "If they keep us alive," it goes on to say in verse 4, "if they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we'll only die." I love their reasoning. Isn't that brilliant? And so we see now that they make a decision in verse 5 of this passage. Verse 5 says, "And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians, their enemies, the Lord had caused the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us.' Therefore they arose and fled at twilight." So the enemies got scared because they heard the noise of what they thought was another army coming against them to take their lives. So they arose in verse 7 and fled at twilight and left the camp intact. Their tents, the Bible says, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Isn't that awesome the way God works? That he actually sees the harm and sees our enemy before us and takes care of it. So when we do take action to go where he calls us to go, he's already made the way. And that's the way they did this. That's the way that God did it for these men. They were blessed and they were protected and didn't even know it. Had no idea. And in verse 8 it says, "And when these men," when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, "they went into one tent, ate and drank." Man, they began to have a party. "And carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid it. Then they came back into another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it." Everything seemed against these men. They were sitting on the outskirts of the city saying, "We're going to sit here and die unless we take action. I know that we'll probably go in there and we'll get killed, but let's do it anyway. Let's take action. Let's do something. Let's not sit and just wait to die." You know what? At least they would have had a story. They would have had an enjoyable time or an adventurous time that they wouldn't have had otherwise. See, there's always, when God leads us to do something, to take action, there's always something out of that that God wants to show us. There's a blessing there. Are you in a place today of indecisiveness? Are you in a place today that you feel fearful, you feel bound, you feel like there's no good reason to continue forward? Do you feel like you're just going to sit and die and just waste away? I want to give you 4 points from this story that I believe will encourage you. The first one, see the importance of taking action. There is importance in taking action. We're not required to see the outcome. We're not required to see the whole picture. You know what? God usually doesn't give it to us anyway. "God, why do you want me to go in the city?" We're good at asking why. We're good at taking it apart and wanting to understand the full picture. But that's part of the faith and the trust that we should have in God, is that we see the importance of taking action without having the knowledge of what the end result will be. It would blow our minds if we knew the end result. It would blow your mind if you knew the provision, the blessing that God has prepared for you, waiting for you and waiting for me to take action today. So we've got to see the importance of taking action. We've got to see the importance of coming out of the prayer closet. The prayer closet is important, but we can't live there. We can't stay there. We've got to take action. We've got to move. We've got to shift. There's something greater that God wants us to do, even in the midst of danger. Even in the midst of maybe a fearful situation, maybe in the midst of things being complicated where you don't see there's a way, there's still the importance of taking action under the influence and the wisdom and direction of God's hand. In the minds of these four men, they didn't see the benefit. They could make no sense of why they would take action, but they said, well, why are we going to sit here and die? Shouldn't we just go on in the city and just be there? The most they can do is let us live, or the most they can do is kill us. We've got to get to a place that we trust God so much. Yes, God has called us to be wise. God has called us to be wise. God is a wise God. But he's also called us not to live in fear. We can't live in fear because God's perfect love casts out fear. When we receive the love of God, when we really experience salvation, the love that Jesus brought to us out of the salvation that he offers us every single day of our life, once we taste that, the very foundation of salvation is love. When we receive God's love, fear goes out the window. He wants us to be adventurous. He wants us to live life to the fullest. He wanted these four men to go to the city and to see what he was about to do. God created a miracle for these men. God wants us to be wise, but he wants us to live without fear controlling our life. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes human reasoning can develop a disabling fear in our life. We can reason things till it's dead in ashes, and it creates a disabling fear in us that will prevent us from taking action and receiving God's blessings. Verse 3, as we just read, they said, why are we sitting here until we die? Why? There's no blessing without action. Jesus gave his life. Had Jesus not given his life, would we have life more abundantly? Would we have life eternally? No. It's because he gave, he took action. Blessing comes out of the action. There's no justice without action. There's no life without action. There's no completion without action. James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So faith isn't faith without action. You've got to have action with faith for it to be alive, for it to produce life. The second thing, number two, don't be afraid to take action. As I've already said, don't live in fear. Don't live with the fear of taking that action. Well, what will happen to me? What if I fail? What will they think of me? What if we do this thing and it just flops? Don't be afraid to take action. Don't be afraid to stand up. Don't be afraid to be a voice. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step back. When we study the circumstances surrounding us, when we study it, when we look at it, it only makes sense to go and hide and lock the door and turn the lights out. That's what makes sense. But is there any life from that? Absolutely not. There comes a time that we must take action. Don't study the circumstances to the point of you're without faith. You don't trust God. You don't believe God. See, our minds cannot comprehend the great things that God has planned for us. We're not made to comprehend it. We're not made to figure it out. We're not made to name it, define it. We want to put God in a box and into a formula, and God has never fit that way. So in verse 5, as we just read, they rose. These four men rose at twilight to go. Underline those two words, to go to the camp. They arose to go. They took action. Even in the face of danger, even in the face of fear, there had to be some little bit of reservation in their human minds not to take action. But even in the face of that, even in the face of concern, and fear, and danger, these men took action. These men did not allow their situation to dictate their action. If our actions are based on the situation, we'll come up short. We must take our action based on the Word of God and the promise of God and the leading of God. Without action, we're tied to fear. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. There's that word again. We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Number three, trust God for his plan. Trust God for his plan. You know what? God always has a plan. There's never a time that God does not have a plan. You'll never see the completion of God's plan until we first take action. I've got to take action. I've got to believe and trust God that what he's telling me to do, so much so that I believe and take action to follow after him. Trust God's plan. God's plan is bigger than our imagination. God's plan is bigger than our biggest plan. In verse 5, these men were surprised. It said, to their surprise, no one was there. They got to the city. The last thing they expected would happen was no one would be there. Not only that, they left all the goods there. To their surprise, the Bible says. They were surprised. They were shocked. No one is here. We expected the army to be here and to take us and to either kill us or at least to give us food to where we could hopefully survive this. But it was to their surprise, verse 5 says, that no one was there. The Lord caused their enemies to run away. God calls that thing that they feared the most to be gone. What are you fearing the most today? The thing that you fear the most could be preventing you from taking action, but it could be the very thing that God has already moved and annihilated, and you just don't know because you haven't taken action to get there yet. God calls the very thing, the greatest fear in their life, to be the source that supplied the ingredients that would bring their greatest blessing. Wow, did you get that? God calls the very thing they feared the most to be the source that supplied the ingredients that would be their greatest blessing. They would have never come into the great blessing that they came into had they not taken the step and the action to go into the city. And God calls their enemy to be the source of their blessing. Wow. They expected to die, but God had a plan to bless them anyway. God had a blessing ready, already prepared before they ever got there. God is preparing a blessing for you. God is preparing some things in your life for you. The very thing that you're fearing the most, don't fear it. Trust God. And number 4, lastly, enjoy God's provision. You say, well, God doesn't want me to enjoy life. He just wants me to barely scrape by and low as me and to be humble and just to get into the kingdom of God. No, God wants you to enjoy his provision. God wants you to be at peace. That doesn't mean that things will always be perfect according to your or my definition of perfect and without blemish, without problem, without issue. But he wants us to enjoy the provision anyway, even in the face of our enemy. Even after the enemy has been gone 5 minutes and the table is still warm, God wants you to enjoy the provision that he will supply you. God intentionally blesses his people. During the time that we're facing right now and have been these last few months, and how it will change probably the rest of our life, and the things that will be paid for probably by our grandchildren from years to come. See, we can't be concerned and focused on the fear of all these things that are happening around us, but we're to enjoy God's provision because God will supply all of your need according to his riches and glory and not be limited to what we have. It's unlimited by what he has. Enjoy God's provision. Jesus publicly paid the price for you. Jesus publicly paid the price for you, and he wants you to publicly display his blessings on your life. See, Jesus would have come privately and died for us all privately, and then we could have enjoyed our blessings privately. But what God does, he does great and grand things publicly so that he can be seen and his blessings can be seen, his greatness can be seen publicly and all around us. Verse 8 said, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried from it silver and gold and clothing. God created this provision for them to enjoy. From the food to the silver and the gold, the clothing, everything that they experienced here, God provided for them to enjoy. God will move heaven. God will move earth to bless you and to create provision out of nothing. God's provision is always greater than your need. What do you have need of today? His provision is bigger than that. His provision is bigger than life. His provision is bigger than us to be staying healthy. We want to stay healthy, but God's provision is greater than that. We trust him. We're wise. We're diligent. We don't live in fear. God's provision is bigger than our imagination. God is big. He's a big God. Isaiah 61 and verse 9 says this, their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. God's not going to bless you so that you'll be a star and so that all the lights will be on you. He's going to bless you so that all the attention and the glory goes to God. It's God whom all blessings flow. From God, all blessings flow. From God, all life flows. And our glory and our attention and all the limelight and all the talk should be about God. How great God is. How awesome God is. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from God. And you are created after God. God created you. God breathed the very breath in your life. How awesome is God? How much does God love you? 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things." This is the key to it. This is the key to our taking action. I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The key to living life, the key to being prosperous in life, is to take action according to God's standards. Take the action that Jesus has outlined right here in the Word of God. This is the Word of God, and this is our action. This is what we're supposed to align our action with, every single thing that we do. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray God's blessings on you today, that God will cause you to take action. Don't be fearful, don't be afraid. Don't be inhibited today by situations or circumstances or fear of this or fear of that. But see the importance of taking action. Don't be afraid to take action. Trust God for His plan and enjoy His provision. God has provided all that you have need of today. It is well. It is well with our soul as we trust God, as we look to Him, as we trust Him today. I'm going to ask Crystal to come stand with me this morning. I want us to pray with you today. Pray that God will surround you by His peace and by His love, by His word, by His promise. God's not going to develop anything more than He already has. He's developed great blessings for you, but we've got to take the action to receive it and to walk in it. He's causing your enemies to be confused. He's causing your enemies to be scattered, the Bible says. But we've got to take action of trust that we focus on Him. Focus on His life and all that He's done and all that He's continued to do. The very life that's in my body right now is because of God. The very life that's in you right now is because of God. Our lifeline is God. Our lifeline is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very one that created heaven and earth. And everything in it belongs to Him. We have today because of who He is and how great He is today. So I want to pray God's blessings over you. Before I do, I told you at the beginning that we had an announcement to make. We've been praying, met with the elders, and we pray that God is stirring us and moving us to start back services right here on May 31st, Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. We're going to come back together. We're going to use wisdom. We'll have sanitation stations. We'll probably have every other road blocked off. But we want you to come join us May 31st, 10:30 a.m., maybe a little more of an abbreviated service than usual. We won't necessarily pass out bulletins, but you can have one if you want to pick one up. We want to welcome you to be with us on May 31st. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:30 on Facebook Live, YouTube, and Vimeo. We'll be back here in the sanctuary, 6530 Frederica Road, St. Simon's Christian Renewal at May 31st, 10:30. So we want to encourage you, invite your friends. If you're sick, feeling sick in any way, we encourage you to stay home. We're still going to do Facebook Live. If you don't feel comfortable gathering with us on May 31st, that's fine. Stay right there at home, but tune in with us. 10:30 Facebook Live will be, we're going to continue to do this. But if you want to gather, if you're healthy and strong and feel like you want to gather with us on May 31st, we want to welcome you to do that. But we want to pray God's blessings over you today. His peace, His direction, His provision. If you just stretch forth your hands to the Lord this morning, Father, I thank you, Lord, for every single person, every life, God, that's tuned in today. God, you're awesome and you love us. You're so gracious and merciful, Lord. Lord, I pray that it will be well with our souls today. Lord, you said as our souls prosper, we will also prosper. So, Lord, our focus needs to be on you, number one, and to seek your direction and your wisdom and how we can take action today. And secondly, Lord, I pray that the windows of heaven will be open, God, that you'll pour out blessings that we can't even contain. So much so that we're surprised as these four men were. We're surprised by your provision, God. How great God is to to bring all these things in our life. And on top of that, using our enemy to bring the ingredients of the blessing that you've stored for us. God, you're awesome the way you work. We love you, Lord. We give you our life today. We give you our life today. Lord, just as you gave us your life, we in turn give you our life today. Our mind, soul, body, and spirit. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord, that all life, every good and perfect gift comes from you by your hands and only your hands. Lord, I pray for a guard of protection, God, that your Holy Spirit will wrap around every single person, Lord, that's tuned in today, whatever the need is, Lord. Surround them with your peace and your confidence, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll speak to their hearts today as we've studied your word and read out of your word today, God, that we have faith and trust in you. You're our hope. You're our future. You're our eternity. You're all that we need. Thank you, Lord, that you bless each one today. I pray now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. Call us if you need us. We're here. We pray God's blessings on you. We look forward to seeing you next time. Have an awesome day.